Good morning. Top of the morning to you. How are we this morning? Amen. Well, I've been having a great time here. It's wonderful to be in New Zealand. And I can only speak Irish and English. But I hope that you can understand me this morning. Amen. I met one young beautiful Irish girl this morning. Oh, bless you, darling. And her folks come from near the same city. As we do at home. In fact, my brother lives in the same town. So isn't that good, eh? I'm glad there's some Irish backup, because we just get abused all the time. Hey, I'll tell you this. I'm preaching this morning on cross-dressing, and I realized after having met up with Wayne before that he's got some serious problems. Do you see how natural it comes to him? I'm glad I'm a temperament therapist. You know that his temperament is one of the best actor temperaments. And so I guess that he can really put it on. Wasn't that fantastic? It's just so good. Amen. Well, I don't think we have time for Irish jokes this morning. What's that clock? No. All right, because there's a lot of things that I want to share with you. It's been an incredible time. And Pastor Sheridan and Jen, thank you so much this morning for having me again in the church here. Ray, thank you. And all the ministry team here, it's such a privilege to be back again. Amen. Trevor and Margaret, good morning. Amen. It's so good to be with you guys and to be in this place. I really appreciate it so much. We're traveling into some 170 countries. Over 70 denominations, and the Lord just continues to give us the strength and the health and the vitality and the passion and the drive. Amen. I was doing one of the Bible schools there just recently, and some of the young people came up to me at the end of one of the sessions, and they said, "This is incredible. I can't believe an old guy like you is so passionate." I said, "Just a moment. That's a backhanded compliment. I am not old. I'm just getting older." Amen. And I don't know that until I look in the mirror. Because the Lord has been providing the energy and being able to go to the places that we go and do the things that we do. Amen. Have you had a good week? Well, some people have. And we don't always have a good day. You know that? Life doesn't always come up with a good day. Is that right? There's not always a good day. Of course, my life, I have all the good days. People always believe that the preachers just get the good days. The preachers always have the good days. We all don't have such good days, do we? And some days we don't have a good day. And you know, one of the most important things is that understanding something when it's not a good day. Jesus didn't come to promise a good day. He promised to come and bring us a good life. Amen. And in my good life, there's a lot of bad days that I think are bad days. But in him and in his economy, everything's different to that. Amen. And so this morning we want to look at some things. And particularly in one particular guy in the Bible who was having some bad days. And legitimately so from his frame of reference. And what he saw to the day. Let me stress with you again, I may have repeated this before, but you know, one of the great things about it is there's two things. One, the wonderful thing about being Irish is you get to saying things three times. Because you mostly have to say it three times before New Zealanders get it. I've wrecked my message right there. Don't cut out on me. I love you. Amen. No, but the second thing is I've been delivered from repetition. Amen. And so if I say something again and again, it's fine. Because you know why? In psychology, they tell us this. You have to hear something 12 times before you hear it. How many have heard me 12 times? I don't know if I'll be invited back after this weekend. You may not get another chance, so you better get it now. You know, I go into some homes, and when I am there, I notice that they have got a little plaque up on the wall in a number of places. If you've got one of those, you may change it after this. I've been stepping in a few toes over the weekend. We have killed the songbook, and we've killed a whole lot of things. That's terrible. What was I saying? Yes, this little plaque. And it says this: God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Have you ever seen that? Okay. Have you got one? Do you know something? God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. It just seems as though God says it and I believe it, that God's waiting for me to endorse something, and that I come along and I endorse it, I put my stamp of approval on it, and God says, wonderful, I've been waiting for you to ratify that for a long time. God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. But when I do believe it, it changes and transforms my life. But His word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. If your problem is greater than your belief system, you've got a crisis. If your problem is equal to your belief system, you've got a struggle. And one thing that I find in so many counseling sessions with believers is that there are struggling. And there are many issues in life that cause struggling. But let me say to you this morning, if your belief system is equal to your problem, you will struggle. But if your belief system is greater than your problem, you enter into rest. Amen. And there is a rest for the people of God. One of my CDs, I've got many of them, but I haven't got them with me. But, and one of them, one of the name of the CD is "The Greatest Struggle in the Christian Life is the Struggle Not to Struggle." Dennis, I don't want any interruptions this morning. I'm staying in this 10-star hotel. It's luxurious, it's beautiful, it's comfortable, it's wonderful. And I get on so well. The Clarkies is a great place. I really get on well with Carly. I appreciate you guys. Amen. The struggle not to struggle. But there's a rest for the people of God. Amen. I marvel at the wisdom of my God. I just marvel at the wisdom of my God. When I saw that little lily pushing up the great big clod, I just marvel at the wisdom of my God. Then the Lord said, "Let the weak say, I am strong." But in my heart, I thought He got it wrong. Then I saw that little lily pushing up the great big clod, and I marvel at the wisdom of my God. He gives power to the weak. He gives power. When you think you can't do it, when you think you can't make it, His power is not for the strong. His power is for the weak. He doesn't give power to strength. He gives power to the weak. Amen. And we come in our weakness. We have our struggles. Life does throw things at us. We do have an enemy. And there's a lot of things that doesn't go that well for us humanly. Is that right? Well, I live in the same world as you do. Amen. And I know the various things that can all go wrong. And I want to point it to you this morning, because what I want to do is I want to help us reshaping our belief system. Because what a man or woman believes rules them. We do not rule our believing rules us. You are shaped by your believing this morning. Whatever you believe, what do you believe? What do you believe? Your believing determines the color of your world. Your believing determines the color of your day. Your believing settles destiny. What do I believe? What do I believe about God? What do I believe about me? What do I believe about the enemy? What do I believe about the world? What do I believe about the events of the world? My brother, sister, this morning, what you believe, what I believe, rules my whole world. Amen. What do you believe? I have to settle what I believe. I have many things that I've needed to settle. I talked to you when I was here before, and I talked about my grandson dying. I had to settle something. I needed to settle something about a grandson dying, because grandsons don't die before their grandparents. And I had to settle something. I had to settle what I believe. And one of the things that I did find out in the metamorphosis of my theology, which I didn't have before, because I never had a theology for weakness. I never had a theology for suffering, and I didn't have a theology for failure. And I tell you something, in traveling the world, I am so glad now that God has expanded my belief system, amen, that I can believe in a God way beyond anything I could ever imagine, and that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Am I shouting too much? I get a bit excited. To be sure. Amen. I got to watch the clock. I'll be gone. I want you to settle what you believe. Because you know why? I know tomorrow morning. I know this week. I know your life is determined by what you believe. You can enjoy the message on Sunday morning. We sing the songs this morning. We had good songs this morning. They were good songs this morning, weren't they, brother? Yes. We didn't. We've been talking about some of the songs that people sing. So we really kept it good this morning. I was asking last night if we sang a particular song, and Pastor Sheridan said, not in the morning we won't. Amen. Because you know why? If I have a belief system, I'm not going to sing something that I don't believe. And I sat in some churches, and it has amazed me. I think, do you really believe that thing? Do you believe that? I was in one. Can I, a little version. I'm in one meeting, and I was watching the people in the front, and they were going well. They were inspired, and it was wonderful. And they were hammering into the deck and so on. And they were singing. Oh, I don't know if you sing this or not. Amen. And they were digging in a thing, and they were singing, I'm going down to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what the enemy took from me. And it was a wonderful little ditty. It had a lovely little tune. But I'm sitting there and I thought, really? And I'm in the front seat and I'm going to preach. And they're really going. I'm going down to the enemy's camp. I won't sing because I can't sing. I'm going down to the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what the enemy took from me. And they were hammering this thing. Wherever, I don't know, the devil's on the platform maybe. And I sat looking and I thought, are you fair dinkum? I mean, do you honestly believe that? You go down. Tell me something. Did he give you a map of where he lives? Do you know his geographical location? How did you know where to go? Do you know the devil's camp? Maybe you're living there and that's how you know it. How did you know to go to the devil's camp? And then you went down to get what he took from you. What has the devil taken from you this morning that he's got at his camp? Oh, he took my peace. So, okay, I'll go down to the devil's camp. He's got a filing cabinet. Ray Andrews, stolen peace. Ray Andrews, stolen joy. What? The devil doesn't have my joy at his camp. There is no joy in the devil's camp. He doesn't have my peace at the devil's camp because there's no peace at the devil's camp. You know that? If you don't have any peace this morning, it's not because the devil stole it. You gave it away by your belief system. Because you didn't believe that you could walk in the situation with the peace of God. The devil had nothing to do with it. And I blame him for taking it. The devil doesn't have a camp with all your gear. And here we are, the Christian. And I sat there looking at all these people. There's 200 or 300 people there. And I sat looking at them and I thought, imagine all these people this morning. They're all down there fiddling around in the devil's camp, fighting over each other to get back what they were taken from what the devil took from them. You see how stupid that is? It sounds nice to sing, but it's ridiculous. And if you believe that, then here you are wasting your time trying to find the location. Get back what you got. How did you get it? How did you take it? And how did you know you'd got it when you got it back? Do you know something? Maybe my mind works too fast. But boy, I ask 1,000 questions in about 2 minutes. Because none of it makes any sense. You know, the thing that's important this morning is that the devil and Jesus are not at war. The fight's over. Jesus put the devil out of business at Calvary, and Christians are trying to put him back into business again. It's over. Hallelujah. We talk too much, think too much, and you know, one of the things for me is that in my counseling offices, I find too many people are given too much time in their daily lives to the devil. What do you believe this morning? I believe that I have a big, 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 big God. And a little, little, little devil. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that. Isn't that good? You don't have to believe anything I say. Just because I say it doesn't make it right. But I'll tell you something. You can't be a vacuum on two legs. You have to believe something. And you'll either believe a lie that keeps you in bondage, or you believe the truth that makes you free. Amen. But you have to believe something. I believe the devil's in the plan. He's not against the plan. He's only too stupid to know that. The devil is God's sheepdog to drive you to Jesus. Do you see this morning what you believe will determine the color of your world? And if you get focused on the enemy because of what the enemy's doing, I listen to people and they say, oh, the enemy caused it to rain on the church picnic. Man, the devil turned the lights red when I had to be in a hurry for work. You know, what do I honestly believe? I was in Germany, and I was traveling with these people, and they came into the car park, and you have to wait at lights to get in the park until it clears a bit, and then more parks come. And then the lady drives in, and she drives into the park, and then she says, here's a park. There's a park right up there. So she races straight into the park. And she's excited about getting a park in this huge park that's so filled up. And she says to her daughter says, oh, that's good, Mom. She says, I'm so glad, she said, we've got a park. And the mom says to her, oh, that's because we're believers. God gave us the park because we're believers. Oh, my. We got the park because another car moved out. God looks down and says, unsaved, no park. Christian, park. You know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, what happens next time when they pray for a park and there's no park? Now I'm disappointed. Now I'm disillusioned. Now God doesn't give me a park anymore. You know, that kind of believing is ridiculous. Why should I have a park over an unsaved man? Why should I have the benefit of a park? Why shouldn't I walk? Why should I not go farther away? Why should it be my park? See, we're looking for the wrong things in the wrong places. But what it does, it builds up disillusionment on God because he doesn't deliver something that he never was intending to deliver. God gives the Christians a car park. You get a car park because it's empty. I've driven around too many times in a car park to know God doesn't give me a car park. And when I've got it, I've praised God. Oh, yes. I still praise God. It doesn't make any difference. Like, I praise God that I got one before the bloke did get in, because I like to get them before the greedy people. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to start preaching. Because I want you to know that I do use the book. I'm going to read this morning something. I'll read some scriptures to you. And then I want to leave the thought with you, which to me is paramount to our believing. I want you to see something with me this morning. Because in my Christian walk and in my life, it's only been my believing that has moved me into a place of freedom. My believing in what? My believing in the revelation of what God said that's already settled in heaven. Yes. Amen. It was all that, brother, all that porridge you made for me this morning. I tell you what, he has got the porridge down exact for me. He has. Absolutely. It's wonderful. Now, after my message last night, a number of you weren't there, but I talked about grace and truth last night, and grace is married to truth. And so I got home, and they have all worked that out now. Dennis is grace, and Carly's truth. He says to me, truth is in the shower, grace is making you breakfast. Yeah, where were you this morning? No, don't tell me. Don't. But it was very good, brother. Amen. Oh, brother, it's been a hard week. How many of you ever said, boy, I'm so glad it's Friday? Boy, that's a good way to live, you know. Just wish your day away. Wish your week away. And glad it's Friday. But then when Friday comes, you know, the problem is, it's like an Irish summer. 9 months of anticipation and 3 months of disappointment. You wait all week for Friday, and when Friday comes, it wasn't what you thought it would be. Because you had all those other things to do that you didn't think you had to do. It didn't really work out. But oh, boy, it's been a hard day. Boy, it's been a hard week. I'm glad that week's over. Boy, I'm sure glad. I wish I'd never got out of bed this morning. How many have thought that? There's days that you wish you hadn't got out of bed. Well, we've had those days, yes, and we've had those hard weeks. But you know what we do? Is we finish up finding life sweeping past so fast and not redeeming the time. Because we're looking for Friday. Yes? Because we want to avoid the hard times. And people say, have you ever said this then? Oh boy, the devil's really been giving me a hard time. Boy, the devil's against me. Have you ever said that? Did you ever think he was for you? Oh, I won't give Ray a hard time this week. He's really been going through a few things, so I think I'll ease up on him. What do you think the devil's doing? What do you think he wants to do? He wants to lie to me and deceive me into believing that he has the power to change the color of my day. And he doesn't. He can't change the color of my day. Not at all. Nor your day. That's what's important. We're not letting him change our day. Amen. We're not. We're choosing through a belief system to have a different day. I want us to turn then and look at this just to try and wrap it up for the time that I have. In Genesis 42, I'm going to read some scriptures, and I'll just read through some of them. And then I'm going to tie it together. So I'll just sort of read the scriptures to you, and then I'll tie it together. In 42 and 36. And Jacob, their father, because I can't go through the whole story. You don't have time. And one of the good things about sitting in the meeting in the morning is that it gives you something more to read in the afternoon. You read in what I don't read, yes? After the football and after the soccer and after your dinner and after everything else. And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Have you ever said that? Here's Jacob, the promise of God, and he says, all these things are against me. My wife's against me. My boss is against me. The government's against me. All these. Oh, woe is me, because all of these things are against me. And Reuben spoke to his father and saying, kill my two sons, that'll fix it. If I do not bring him back to you and put him in your hands, and I'll bring him back. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. And if any calamity should happen to Benjamin along the way in which you go, then you'll bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. I'll tell you something. I have got, I don't know what my hair is, gray, white, or whatever it is. It's a little bit like Dennis. But I'll tell you something. There's nothing turn your hair gray faster than a wrong belief system. And he said, you can see it. Do you see when you get a wrong belief system, when you don't see it right, what you see yourself is this thing's going to be the death of me. Anybody ever made that statement? This is going to be the death of me. You kids are going to be the death of me. This situation is going to be the death of me. It's going to kill me. It's pulling me down. He says, I'm going to turn gray. I'm going to turn white. I'm going to turn because of what's going on with me. And he has this situation that many of us I know this morning would be able to say ourselves that we have. In verse 1 and 2 of 42. Maybe we'll go back and see this one, 56 in the chapter before 41. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became so great in the land of Egypt, so severe. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. And when Jacob saw, go into the next verse, when Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Isn't it an amazing thing where your belief system is and what you're doing is you just stand there looking at each other and not knowing what to do. And he says, I want you to go down there and I want you to buy that so at least we can live and not die. And then Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. Old Jacob says, all these things are against me. This is one of the most traumatic times. Do you know, I think that for a family, probably one of the most difficult things, one of the hardest things of all, and we see it in our papers regularly when a child goes missing. You just imagine the pain. Imagine the hurt. Imagine the trauma. Because here is a son that Jacob doesn't know, has gone, he's missing, he's presumed dead, he believes that he's dead, and he's in absolute pain. And because Joseph was a very favorite son, he had the promise of God on him. Now Jacob is really missing the whole thing. And here's what he says. And he says, all these things are against me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. I'm just going to go down to my grave. It's killing me. I know moving through the death of my grandson. I know the depth of the pain of grief. I know what it's like to suffer and to feel that pain. Absolutely. It's a difficult thing. And I want to tell you something in and through that pain. And you, I'm sure here, we are all touched in some way by some kind of loss. And you understand that. But do you know the thing that supported me, that held me together, that gave me the impetus to do the funeral was because of what I believe. And what I believe gave me the ability to rise up in the midst of the greatest grief. But do you see, it was what Jacob believed that was sending him to the grave. And let me tell you this morning, your believing will either lift you up or it'll send you down. It'll either exalt you and lift you up and encourage you, or it'll finish up putting you in despair and depression. Your believing will do that. Do you see that? Where are you this morning? And what are you believing? You know, the most amazing thing Even those things that Satan has designed for your destruction, in the hand of God, they work together for good. Here is the most incredible, the most amazing and the wonderful thing. And I want you to see this morning, put it into your belief system for helping you in your life. Because Jacob said, Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? Because he was the real brother to Joseph. And he says, you want to take him now? And you know something? He says, all these things are against me. And he was never farther from the truth. Do you see how you can deceive by a wrong belief system? He was never farther from the truth. Because right now, I read the verses to you, right now, Joseph is prime minister of Egypt. Right now, Joseph is second in charge to Pharaoh. Only Joseph, apart from Pharaoh, had the keys to all the granaries in Egypt, and Joseph held the power to feed the nation of Egypt and anybody else that came. Joseph is prime minister. Simeon has never had it so good. Simeon is down in Joseph's palace. He's eating strawberries and ice cream. Yes. He's enjoying the lavish provision that Joseph is pouring into his life. And do you see, right at that very moment, old Jacob is going down in depression. He's going down in heartache and heartbreak. He's seeing death coming alive. Death coming alive. Boy, that's Irish. He's seeing death coming in front of him. I'm going to die in all of this. All these things are against me, and he never was farther from the truth. And I'll tell you something this morning. When you get to that place in the assaults of life, and when the enemy wants to come against you, and when things are not going well, and you think it's your lowest moment, and you think it's your hardest time, I want to tell you this morning, at your very lowest, in the worst time, it's not working against you, it's working for you. Amen. It's all working for you. Hallelujah. Man, it's so easy to say, boy, I'm glad that day's over. Do you know something? When you say that, it means that day was invalid. It meant nothing to you. Instead of realizing that in the midst of that, God was doing something wonderful. In every situation that you find adverse to your life is the time when God's doing the very opposite to what you thought. Hallelujah. Because you know why? He works in that plan. He's good at that. Amen. You know, we preach gospel messages and we hang carrots at the people and tell them, you know, oh, if you come to Jesus, you'll get this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Listen, you come to Jesus and you get the hardest time in your world. Coming to Jesus is not putting you on a magic carpet ride. He never promised us a rose garden. No. But we like it because we're consumer people. And you know why? Because comfort's always at the center. So it's a good message. But see, it's a consumer message. And it isn't a real message because life's not like that. And life, Jesus never promised life to be like that. He told us over and over again. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things against us. And as we accelerate and we are fast, into this end dispensation, as we come to the consummation of this age, the church is no longer the pin-up people of society. We are moving into an age where people are so anti-God, they're so against the people of God, the systems are against the people of God, the laws are against the people of God, and they're constantly changing to take away our freedom. You know that, don't you? The only most wonderful thing is, the darker it gets, the brighter the stars shine. Hallelujah. It isn't about getting out and being weak and not getting there. No, no. The weak, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. The weaker I get, the stronger I become. Hallelujah. Well, I wouldn't want you to get as excited as me. That would be disastrous for Sunday morning. Joseph is prime minister of Egypt. But listen to this. Here's how Joseph recounts it. In Joseph's belief system, we know the typology, but in a practical sense, here's how Joseph interprets it. Listen to this. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please, when they finally came down, come near me. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." I want to tell you something. People do bad things to us. Has anybody here ever been hurt? Have you been hurt by family? Have you been hurt by other? And we say this, but they were Christians. There's a help. Has people ever hurt you? People do things against us. I have been hurt, and I don't have time to talk about that this morning because it's irrelevant, other than the fact is that it's a fact. And I have been hurt. And people have hurt me, and people close to me have hurt me. They really have. I can be hurt. You know that. Did you look up and think I was an angel or something? No. Paddy and Mick were down the pub. And they had a few pints. And Paddy looks at Mick and he says, "You know," he says, "my wife, she's just a right angel, she is, to be sure, to be sure." Mick looked at him and he said, "Oh, Paddy," he said, "you are so lucky. Mine's still alive." I'm not an angel. I go through the same things. People hurt us. Do you know, I counsel people who live with bitterness, resentment, anger, and revenge because of being hurt. And they're believers. They ripped me off. They did this to me. They lied about me. They did all these things to me. Do you see? All the time. We blame people all the time. I'll tell you, if you don't have a right belief system this morning, then you'll always blame somebody else. When Adam was in the garden and having a great time with God, God gave him a woman. That changed the tempo. I was also going well until I got married. Hey, do you know it changes the dynamics, does it not? Here's the dynamic it changes for Adam. Adam finished up sinning and falling in the garden. And isn't it the most amazing thing? He turns around and blames the woman. He blames the woman. "It's the woman you gave me. And she was the best woman in the world." Hey, let me tell you something this morning. You fall out with God before you fall out with your mate. You'll always fall out with God before you fall out with your mate. So next time you find yourself blaming somebody, it isn't the mate's fault. He fell out with God. Adam never blamed her until he fell out with God. Do you see that? That's very, very important to know this morning. And so now, he says, I want you to see this, because you know what? I'm listening to that kind of thing every day. People are hurt, and they blame, and they have bitterness and resentment and hatred. And this morning, the only thing that's going to change that for you is your belief system. Because Joseph was hurt. He sold by his own brothers and tells their father that he's dead. And now Joseph says, come here, when the brothers finally came down. He says, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself. If anybody had the right to be angry, it was him. But he knew their emotional response and the pain that it would cause. And he says, Because you sold me. Now look at that. I want you to see that. Because you sold me. One of the most important things we talked about last night is that you have to have truth. You first have truth. Joseph wasn't in denial. He wasn't spiritualizing it. He wasn't going over the top with it and saying, oh, forget it, doesn't matter. And ignoring it. He had truth. You have to have truth. He says, it was you. You sold me. He didn't be in denial, and he had truth. And then he says, you sold me. For God, and then he moves to his belief system, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there's 5 years still to go, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then he switches it right to them, and he said, so, it was not you. It was you, but it's not you. I'm not giving the devil glory. I'm not giving you glory, because all glory to God. Amen. Because you know why? It was God. It was God. Because why? Because God is in all, and through all, and to all, and because of him, all things exist. Amen. He says, it was not you, it was God. But it was them. But it wasn't them. Do you see, I want to change your focus this morning. Get it off of the devil. Get it off of the people. And get it back on God. Amen. It wasn't your wife. It wasn't your husband. It wasn't your friend. It wasn't the government. It was God. Hallelujah. It was not you. It was God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over his house, and ruler throughout all the land. Isn't that something? It was not you, it was God. Oh my. I'm going to have to fly just quickly, and I'll read a couple of scriptures, and then I've got to shut up. Because if you haven't got it now, you won't get it. What shall we say then? I'm flipping over my notes because with that, there's my enemy up there. I'm in Romans 8, 31. So now he's talking about a lot of stuff, and he says, what shall we say? This morning, my brothers and sisters, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? This morning, I want to ask you, who is your who? Who is your who? Who is your what? Don't just start praying yet. I'm not finished. And there's no prayer line. That's why I've got 2 extra minutes. Who is your who? Who is your what? No. If God be for us, who? You have a who, do you not? You have a what, do you not? You live in the world that I do, and there's what's, and there's who's, and there's all kinds of people who are doing injury and hurt, and there's a system that's against us, and there's an enemy that lies to us. And I want to lift your belief system this morning, and I want to tell you this morning, if God is for you, what good is the who? It's driving you to him. What about the what? It's driving you to him. The who and the what is incidental. I know the pain that suffering can bring. I know the pain that can come through those things. I live in your world, but I want to lift your eyes this morning, and I want you to see something. Let me show you this. I want to do this for you, and then you can play your music. They did very well this morning, didn't they? Boy, I really liked that this morning. You did very well in the music. It was beautiful. You figure out your who. And then realize this morning, whatever your who is or your what is, that you can be free from bitterness. You can be free from resentment. Your belief, it doesn't mean you come out, and that's what I'm talking about, and making a joke about a prayer line. You don't have to come out and be prayed for bitterness. You don't have to get prayed and say, Lord, help me through this. You just change your belief system right there where you sit. Because you know why? It's not the prayer that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. If you take the truth will get hold of you. You'll change your belief system, and you walk out of freedom. You walk from your bitterness. You can walk from your resentment. You walk from unforgiveness. You walk from the hurts. You walk from all of it, because your belief system lifts you up into a heavenly plan, and you see God. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heart purity is seeing God in everything. Amen. Last thing. Romans 8:28. Remember, he says, three places it talks about things. Jacob says, all these things. Then David says, when these things are against me. And we didn't get to there. And then, now it says, what things? Who? What? Things. Life's full of things. Do you know that? It's just full of things. And you get different things going on than I do. And I have different things than you do. I'm married to a different woman. I travel in different places. I have different things that's going on. And I've got a wonderful wife. I'm telling you, she's beautiful. I've been married this October. We celebrate for our 43rd anniversary. You see? And I married her. I married her when she was 17. Yes. Mike Wells said to me, my colleague and co-worker, he said to me, Ray, yours was not a marriage at all. It was an adoption. And some people said it wouldn't last. Well, 43 years later, she's still waiting for me to come home. I opened a card this morning because I couldn't wait, because she gave me a card for Father's Day. And she said, and I opened this on Father's Day, but I had to open it this morning. And then she had this most beautiful verse in it, and then all this stuff written at the bottom. And then she had a special little thing in that I've been looking for a while. Is a thing that you do your filing in and put all the things for my different counseling areas. And I've been looking for one and looking for one. And she's got the picture of it inside the card and said, this is waiting for you when you come home. Isn't that nice? Did you see why I talk so lovingly about her? Because I'm on type. Hey. Do you know what? Life is full of things. There's some good things. There's a good day, but there's a bad day. There's economic bad news. My job is threatened. Somebody comes and encourages me. Then I finish up getting the check in the mail from a non-disclosed source. Life is full of things, mistakes, failures, hurts, bills, all kind of things are going on in your life. Is that right? That's why the Bible says things. It just calls them things. But here's the thing about things. He takes, Romans 8:28, he takes all things. The good, the bad, the hard, the hurts, the difficulties, the failures. He takes all things and causes them to work together for good. God, David says in Psalm 106, he says, this I know when my enemies surround me, God is for me, God is for me. This I know, this I know, this I know, God is for me. Amen. God is for you this morning. Amen. And not everything's bright and rosy. Not everything's wonderful and good. Not everything's happening the way you want it to. But he's pulling it all together for good. Hallelujah. Is that good? That's it. I'm over. Finished.